The Janu Herd quarterly update for Q2 2026 is one of those HN stories that functions as a kind of cultural Rorschach test. If you've been in systems programming for more than 10 years, Herd triggers a very specific mix of nostalgia, respect, and resigned amusement. The project has been in active development since 1990, has been perpetually almost ready for about three decades, and continues to produce genuine technical work on a microkernel architecture that most of the industry abandoned in the late 90s.
126 comments on that thread, which is extraordinary for what is objectively a niche quarterly update. But the comments are gold. They're a living archive of systems programming philosophy, with genuine debate about the trade-offs between microkernel and monolithic kernel designs, the lessons from Mach, L4, and Minix, and whether there's still a world where Herd's design philosophy becomes relevant again in the context of OS security research.
The Q2 update covers continued work on the translator system, the mechanism by which Herd handles file system and network operations through separately running processes rather than kernel code, along with threading improvements and some progress on POSIX compliance. It's careful, principled work. The project doesn't pretend to be competing with Linux. It's preserving and developing a design philosophy which has its own value.
The Rust performance story is more immediately practical. The post, Branchless Rust, Making a Filter Four Times Faster by Removing an If, is a masterclass in low-level optimization thinking. The core idea is that conditional branches, if statements, in hot code paths cause branch mispredictions in modern CPU pipelines, which flush the pipeline and cost cycles. By rewriting filter logic using bitwise arithmetic instead of conditionals, you eliminate the prediction overhead and get throughput gains that can be substantial in tight loops.
The post is very well written. It walks through the naive implementation, the profiling results, the insight about branch prediction, and then the rewrite. The four-times speedup is real and reproducible. What's interesting about the HN discussion is that it splits between people excited about the optimization technique and people pointing out that Rust's compiler and LLVM backend will often perform this transformation automatically under the right circumstances. The human-written branchless version may not be necessary in all cases, but understanding when and why it matters is valuable regardless.
It connects to a broader theme that's been running through the HN community for a while: the relationship between high-level abstractions and performance. Rust sits in an interesting position because it promises memory safety without garbage collection overhead, which theoretically gets you close to C performance with better guarantees. Stories like this branchless filter piece are part of the ongoing community work to understand exactly where that promise holds and where you still need to think carefully about what the hardware is doing.
The NVIDIA Vera white paper analysis from Chips and Cheese is another story that rewards careful reading. The Vera chip is NVIDIA's attempt to build a high-performance CPU core for their Grace Hopper successors, and the thread loose in the title refers to what the analyst identifies as an inconsistency in the white paper's thread count claims. The thread counts described in different sections of the document don't reconcile, which either indicates a documentation error or, more charitably, reflects a genuine architectural complexity that wasn't well communicated.
NVIDIA's documentation around Vera has been notably sparse, which has driven a cottage industry of white paper archaeology among hardware analysts. The Chips and Cheese analysis is technically rigorous and worth reading even if you're not going to build on Vera, because it illustrates how much of what the semiconductor industry presents as finished specifications are actually works in progress with meaningful ambiguity.
The switching from Android to Linux phone story has 354 comments and represents a perennial HN topic, but the 2026 version has some texture that earlier versions lacked. The author is making the switch specifically to a Linux phone running a distribution built on top of the Librem or PinePhone lineage. The details matter, and the honest assessment of what you give up and what you gain is more nuanced than the triumphalist, "I freed myself from big tech" framing that this genre often defaults to. The author notes that call quality is acceptable, Battery life is worse, and the app compatibility situation requires workarounds for about 30% of their daily use cases.
The Android 17 story is related and worth a note. There's a GitHub issue surfacing that on non-rooted Android 17 devices, ADB commands to uninstall system apps are now failing. This is a quiet but significant tightening of user control. The ability to debloat Android devices, remove carrier-installed apps, OEM software, and system apps that users don't want has historically been possible through ADB without rooting. If that path is closing, it's another pressure point pushing technically sophisticated users toward alternatives, which is the same pressure the Linux phone story is responding to.
The Decimen Optical Transfer Project is a delightful example of what the HN community produces when it has time to play. It's a fountain-coded QR file transfer system, meaning you can transfer files between air-gapped devices using only a screen and a camera without any network connection. The fountain coding means individual QR frames can be dropped and recovered from, so you don't need perfect reception. Practical? Rarely. Elegant? Absolutely.